So coming up next, we have a flashback. The sound quality is not the best, and this is a flashback you can already find on the Huff website. If you look up the archives of this show, which we call Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides, it's a flashback from June 19th, 2003, and it goes through a number of things. It's a two-hour-long flashback, which was what the show's time was. The short show was 2 hours. The longer show, I think, was 3.5 hours. Times tended to vary over the past, but we got 5.5 hours to do this show in, theoretically, though sometimes, oftentimes, we go over. And I'm trying to stick to it this time. Plus, I have limited time to get it out, so I'm kind of pressed. So this is concerned mainly, well, there are a number of topics on the show. One of them is the failure of the city council, then under the leadership of Emily Riley, who now, still runs her restaurant, Good Things to Eat, at the corner of Laurel and Mission Streets. We actually picketed her restaurant because of her anti-homeless laws at one time. We haven't picketed or called for a boycott since, or I haven't anyway, because she's no longer a politician in power. She actually came to power opposing the sleeping ban, as a member of fashionable progressives did. Ed Porter, Scott Kennedy, in his own way earlier. Almost the roster of city council members in the early years of the millennium, 2000, 2001, with a few exceptions, included people who had at one time or another opposed the sleeping ban citywide. Now, these days, the sleeping ban is, of course, not the issue. It's the camping ban, and also the issue of homeless organizing and pressuring to set up indoor facilities for homeless folks, given the current pandemic that's going on. That, of course, is given a lot of verbal notice by city authorities, county authorities, state authorities, and even federal authorities. But the local police continue to harass and move along homeless people, at least they have in the last week or two, harass where homeless people gather for food support. Food Not Bombs was given an order to disperse and may face arrest later today. You should go down there and support them if your health is up for it, if you are feeling okay with that, if you're careful about your contacts with people. I suppose you should be more cautious if you're one of the more vulnerable groups, they say, although it's really hard to get national, international figures on this. So my general pressuring and policy and public statements and attempts to get people to contact or to mobilize among themselves and to contact authorities and pressure them to do this is to get local action on issues that people like to give a lot of verbal assent or attention to nationally or internationally, but not locally. So at that time, it was the Iraqi war. We're still in the Iraqi war, of course. And, there's some withdrawal of troops because of the coronavirus threat and because of the upcoming 2002 election that Trump wants to win by giving the illusion that he's dialing back on militarism, which he's not. But there are some indications that he's making gestures in that direction, like in Afghanistan and Iraq. Although that is contradicted in Iraq by other kinds of behaviors and in Syria as well. In any case, in 2003, we wanted to get the city officials, and we still want to get city officials, at least I do, to not only oppose verbally the behavior of national leaders and national would-be leaders like Joe, rah-rah-rah for the Iraqi war, Biden, and to get them to just say no and to get the population, strongly behind that and at least have the city's official statements be behind that, but also to get disinvestment, whether it's around Israeli government abuse of Palestinians, internally and externally in the West Bank and Gaza and its own home territory, in the home territory or the territory of the Israeli government's non-occupied territories, but also an examination of the extent of city investment in corporations or government financial entities that support war and that support the U.S. military establishment abroad. Tim Fitzmaurice, one of the losing candidates, looks like a losing candidate, the final results are not in the recall election. I think it's Byers who likely got in, but again, I don't have clear figures on that, and you're not hearing much from the newspapers about that, which is my usual source, though I probably should be going onto the internet, and so should you if you want to follow that. For the record, Glover and Crone are still in power, although their attempts to get something done are frustrated by the city manager dictatorship backed up by the Cummings subservience and the Matthews cabal, as I like to call these folks at city council. And lest you think that I'm being divisive or mean and nasty and misogynist in my criticism, I'm talking about the real division on policy issues that we've seen over the last year, actually over the last several years, maybe even the last decades, at least for some of them, like Matthews. And that reality is because it was not clearly outlined in the recall election or in the earlier fight against the censure motions or in the earlier attempts simply to pass basic civil rights and services and sensible reevaluations of how the budget should be amassed because of the advice given to Glover and Crone, because, oh, you better keep a low profile, don't talk too loud, don't point out strongly divisions, you'll be accused of being divisive and mean and nasty. But in fact, it had to be done. It wasn't done, and they lost. I don't think they necessarily would have won anyway because of the huge infusion of capital that came in against them from out-of-state, or I should say out-of-city real estate interests. But it would have been more of a fight, and more important, the issues would have been made clear to a greater number of people for the continuing fight, and it is a continuing fight. Ironically, this pandemic may have a silver lining in that the obvious issues of a rent freeze, we're not really getting a rent freeze, we're getting an eviction postponement, which isn't really much. It has to be turned into something else, but it may be, if enough people get angry enough, determined enough, desperate enough, and solid enough with each other, that could happen. If there are enough of us surviving as well, when this is all over too. And the realization that all the endless bogus promises of Bernal, Mills, Condotti, Cummings, and the city council minority, and even, you know, the half-assed measures of Brown, Crone, and even Glover. I mean, well, he's certainly tried harder than most, and he's spoken out on occasion more frankly than most. But we haven't gotten the kind of organizing outside the city council by these council members. I think they have to do that in order. I mean, you got to remember, Glover was ahead of the Poor People's Campaign here. You know, he could have continued organizing, not necessarily as an official of that campaign, but as a city council member who feels he's being thwarted by a reactionary minority, which is really a majority since it's the staff that runs the city and Bernal that runs the staff, Martine Bernal, that didn't get done, and he got undone. And that's going to happen again, I think, in future shitty councils, as we're going to see a future one with idiotic, one has to judge when she comes into power, but Renee Golder, and of course the shopworn Catherine Byers, whose comment about homeless people back when there was a homeless issues task force 20 years ago that she shoveled all homeless measures into, and the camping ban examination that she took 3 months to do before simply announcing there's just no place for them. That's the same kind of crap that we're getting from Susie O'Hara now, who's the assistant city manager to Martine Bernal, who lied in court about the accessibility of these issues. She made an appointment to meet with me and talk with me, but I never heard a word from her afterwards. She was upset that I whispered loudly as she got up to the Coastal Commission to lie again, or to mislead, perhaps that's a better way of putting it, the availability of real shelter for homeless people in the issue whether to ban for 5 years everybody from the main beach in the wee hours of the night as part of Mills. We want to be able to ticket them and scare them away from the beaches because, I don't know, they scare away the tourists or maybe they scare away some of the residents or whatever. She continues these false narratives, and she's, you know, on the team that's not leading anything in terms of opening up real indoor protective areas for homeless people during this crisis. And she continues to do that, and so do the enabling city council. We don't see them holding any even virtual press conferences around this issue now, or coming out to support Keith McHenry's actual feeding system in the city, as everything else, as you've heard in this broadcast, according to him at least, closes down. That's a question I never asked McHenry's critic, Brent Adams, and I always try to give a little of some space, usually a lot of space, to both of them to express themselves, but I don't always ask the right questions, and that's often key in these issues. Anyway, we're supposed to be talking, or I'm supposed to be talking, about the flashback, which again has to do with my demand at that time, and I think we had a larger progressive Huff faction in those days, to disentangle ourselves and demand an end to the Iraqi war as it was progressing. You know, there were one day in March, there were the largest protest ever in Santa Cruz history, or at least in recent times, against the Iraqi war, followed by nothing once the Iraq was invaded. This is, of course, is typical when corrupt governments, militaristic governments, lead a nation into war because they control the propaganda organs and everybody is supposed to rally around the Führer, which is not a good idea, of course. Also, you're going to hear Tom Noddy, who went out to challenge one of the downtown ordinances, the juggling ban, a very small part of the downtown ordinances, which were made worse some months before by the new conservative council majority. And to their credit, Crone and Sugar, who's now dead, voted against it. That was back in 2002. And in 2003, we had laws that made it illegal to throw a ball in the air on Pacific Avenue, to throw a frisbee, to juggle, and set in place the beginnings of these, well, I should say the extension of what are now became impossibly extended a few years ago, restrictions on Pacific Avenue for entertainers, vendors, and most notably for me, homeless people just wanting to be there. Now, these have not been enforced for the last year or two, partially because the homeless reality, the visible homeless reality, is getting so intense that I think there's a limit on the amount of police time that can be spent on this. But you can bet your boots, if a merchant complains, there's suddenly 6 squad cars there. Huge numbers of police show up for the most trivial incidents. And this happens again and again under Mills. It's part of essentially a terror tactic designed to deter any disobedience to orders, however unconstitutional or abusive or selectively enforced. It's my view on this. Anyway, back in 2003, Noddy was challenging this. He was arrested for juggling. They tried to ignore him. He kept doing it, insisting it. Finally insisted to be arrested. And the kindly hosts, as they called the Business Improvement District funded and also City Council funded group of uniformed snitches for the police who walked around and supposedly tried to advise tourists where to go and so forth. Their actual main function was to harass people under the downtown ordinances. Thou shalt not sit next to a building. Thou shalt not sit next to a bench. Thou shalt not sit on a great majority of the space along Pacific Avenue that was vastly expanded the year before in 2002, expanded again in, I think, 2010 and 2013. And most recently, it's still occasionally being pulled out, even in inappropriate circumstances, for example, to try to harass before they just simply did a mass depopulation of the post office encampment about a week and a half ago. Anyway, this is the, just, I'll shut up and let you hear it, the June 19th, 2003 flashback. Enjoy it. And remember, these issues are still current, and that's one of the reasons I play these flashbacks. I enjoy hearing my own voice and hearing me, you know, ranting on about, I think, important issues at the time and feeling glad I did, although wondering what the hell use it was at the same time. And if you have anything you want to report, anything you want to pass on to me to put into the next Thursday broadcast, or maybe even pre-Thursday, I'm occasionally posting archives and accessible between broadcast interviews on the Huff website at huffsantacruz.org under latest and lost shows. So think about that. If you like this kind of stuff, or if you think it's important, you can go there and you can hear not only old shows, but look at new breaking shows, breaking news, even when we're not doing, or I'm not doing, regular broadcasts. And if you find what you're listening to in this flashback, the controversy around the downtown ordinances, the Iraqi war, the other issues that come up, interesting to you, and you want to follow them more closely, a lot of the adjacent shows, adjacent in time to this period, can be found if you go to the Huff website as well. Instead of latest and lost shows, which is where the current shows are archived, that's where you'll find this show now if you're listening, trying to get to it in a future time. But if you go to the link right above that, it's called An Archive of the Oldest Shows, 1995 to 2004. You can find all kinds of shows around that period of time, which kind of describe my take and that of my guests on what's going on in Santa Cruz in June of 2003. It's really hard to get this kind of perspective, even if you want to do research in the library or the Sentinel, because they do so little coverage of this kind of stuff. But I was covering at least certain aspects of it very intensely and very continuously, and really an attempt to create, I think, an alternate, truer, deeper narrative of what was going on. So that's an option you have. Again, you just go to the Huff website at huffsantacruz.org. You scroll down to find the section Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides on the main page. And then you go to An Archive of the Oldest Shows, and you can then start clicking on various shows in some of those various years. You could click on the show the right before this one, the show right after this one, if you wanted to see what happened, at least as I described it, during that period of time, what the follow-ups were to what we talked about, if there were any follow-ups, and so forth. But right now, you will be ushered directly into the June, I guess it's the June 19th show, I believe. Let's see. Yep, June 19th. Enjoy it and learn from it and do something now in March of 2020, 17 years later. That's even more important.